Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Is America ready for a woman president? That's the big question we're going to be talking about today. Not only do you have this new program, Commander-in-Chief, featuring Gina Davis playing an American president, but we also have speculation about a 2008 presidential race between Hillary Rodham Clinton and Condoleezza Rice. This is not only the talk of Washington, it all of a sudden is part of our national conversation about what we may face politically and what we're ready for. Are you ready for a woman serving as president of the United States? Would you vote for a Condoleezza Rice, or for that matter, a Hillary Clinton? We'll be talking about it today on the Albert Mohler Program. The phone number 877-893-8255. We invite your calls, and we'll get to that conversation in just a few minutes. First of all, right now in Iraq, in a matter of hours, the trial of Saddam Hussein is going to begin, and this, once more, is a big test for the Iraqi people. Can they conduct this trial in such a way that it honors the rule of law and also allows justice to be done? Saddam Hussein is being tried on charges coming up this week concerning his affairs in office and his acts, especially a persecution that took place in terms of his own citizens. There is so much going on in terms of this trial, and there are so many potential charges that could be brought. But this particular set of charges has to do with Dujail, a village, and it was there in 1982 that an assassination attempt was made against the life of Saddam Hussein, and it appears that the Iraqi dictator used that as a pretext for wiping out a good many people, families, and for making the political prisoners. This is a test of justice, not only for Iraq, but for the world, because this is not just about one nation and one dictator. It is about the big question as to whether we can bring dictators, rulers to justice for genocide and for crimes against humanity. We will be watching this with you, and we need to pray for the Iraqi people, not only that their constitution that we hope was affirmed and ratified will help to bring cohesiveness to that nation, not only that they would experience peace and prosperity, but that they would also understand and affirm and, for that matter, achieve justice in the case of this trial of Saddam Hussein. Speaking of matters legal in this country, there is all of a sudden a lot of interest in Harriet Myers, she being President Bush's most recent nominee to the United States Supreme Court. And it now appears that Harriet Myers had submitted a questionnaire on abortion when she was running for the Dallas City Council in 1989. And at that time, she pledged support for a constitutional amendment that would ban abortions except when necessary to save the life of the mother. Now, all of a sudden, this questionnaire that she submitted to Texans United for Life has hit the news waves and the newspapers and the political process as well. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, the only woman on the Judiciary Committee, said the answers clearly reflect that Harriet Myers is opposed to Roe v. Wade. This raises very serious concerns about her ability to fairly apply the law without bias in this regard. It will be my intention to question her very carefully about these issues. End quote. We need to remember that Dianne Feinstein had said with reference to John Roberts that as the only woman on the committee, it was her responsibility to press Mr. Roberts on these questions. Now it'll be interesting to see what happens when Harriet Myers appears before that committee. Her lengthy response to the questionnaire from the Senate Judiciary Committee is now available on the web through the Judiciary Committee's website, and we'll be hearing more about that as well. Of that, you can be sure. What is the stem cell debate really about? There are new developments that raise that question all over again. Two possible breakthroughs in human stem cell research were announced Sunday in the journal Nature, one of the world's most respected scientific periodicals. This particular report indicates that scientists have developed two new techniques for deriving pluripotent human stem cells that do not require the destruction of human embryos. That's big news. Reading to you from the journal's report, religious and ethical concerns are forcing researchers using human embryonic stem cells to seek ways to sidestep these issues. In a first attempt, biologists this week revealed details of two techniques for deriving the cells that do not involve the destruction of a viable embryo. Both methods work in mice and in principle should be applied to human embryos. But scientists, ethicists, and politicians are split over the merits of the two techniques. Now, you will remember that just a few weeks ago, researchers at Harvard indicated that they had developed something that is at least similar, and that is a technology for deriving usable human embryonic stem cells that would not require the destruction of a human embryo. Why is there not more scientific interest in this? Why is there not celebration among stem cell researchers? Well, Robert P. George at Princeton University thinks he knows why. And Robert George is one of the nation's premier bioethicists. He is the professor of law there at Princeton, and he also directs the James Madison Institute there at Princeton University. He says now, in an article entitled Fetal Attraction, What the Stem Cell Scientists Really Want, I'm quoting now, he says, up to now, embryonic stem cell advocates have claimed that they are only interested in stem cells harvested from embryos at the blastocyst stage. That's 5 or 6 days. They have denied any intention of implanting embryos either in the uterus of a volunteer or in an artificial womb in order to harvest cells, tissues, or organs at more advanced stages of embryonic development or in the fetal stage. He goes on to say advocates are well aware that most Americans, including those who are prepared to countenance the destruction of very early embryos, are not ready to approve the macabre practice of fetus farming. However, based on the literature I have read and the evasive answers given by spokesmen for the biotechnology industry, I fear that the long-term goal is indeed to create an industry in harvesting late embryonic and fetal body parts for use in regenerative medicine and organ transplantation, end quote. I wanted you to hear that entire quotation from Robert P. George. He is one of the premier intellectuals of our day, and this is a very, very clear warning coming from one who serves on the President's Council on Bioethics. He's in a position to know what's going on, and when he writes of his concern that the real agenda behind much of this stem cell research is the farming of fetal tissues and fetal organs, we need to all wake up. Robert P. George is, as I've said, a member of the President's Council on Bioethics. He is the Cyrus McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence at Princeton University. This is not someone who's writing in some kind of spurious newsletter. This is not someone who's just speaking off the cuff. This is one who has every right to speak and every reason to know what he's talking about. In a recent issue of Harvard Magazine, Professor George debated Professor Michael Sandel of Harvard University on the issue of embryonic stem cells, and Professor George promoted what he calls an equal moral status view of the human embryo. Listen to how he defines it. He says, "The principle to which I subscribe is one that says all human beings are equal and ought not to be harmed or considered to be less than human on the basis of age or size or stage of development or condition of dependency," end quote. That's a very important statement. This equal moral status argument is exactly what is consistent with the Christian worldview. Our affirmation of the dignity of human life does not depend upon the size, the age, the stage of development, or the condition of dependency of the human being. Once we begin to compromise on any of those issues, we're throwing human dignity out the window. There are many families out there who have encouraged their daughters by giving them American Girl dolls, and they have celebrated the femininity and the wholesomeness of these dolls, and my daughter had one, and I know an awful lot of little girls who love these dolls. They will be interested to know that the American Girl Company is now teaming up with an organization that promotes, among other things, comprehensive sex education in schools, abortion, clear support for Roe v. Wade. American Girls is linking up with an organization, and they're selling bands for Girls Incorporated. This I Can band is going to give proceeds to Girls Incorporated. And I heard about this. I went to the website of Girls Incorporated, and they say they are about empowering girls and resisting gender stereotypes and all these things. But when you look at their position papers, you also come to understand that they support contraceptives for teenage girls. They want to encourage girls who want to explore lesbian and bisexual lifestyles. They go on in one of their publications to say this: the emergence of a lesbian identity is an ongoing process rather than an event. Well, these I Can wristbands may mean a whole lot more than some parents understand. This reminds us that when we're dealing in the marketplace, we are consumers, and by the choices we make, we're either supporting or choosing not to support worldview implications as well. It is a travesty that a company like American Girls has decided to throw its support behind the ideological agents that would undermine the very values they would claim to represent. Is America ready for a woman as president? Commander-in-Chief is now rising in the ratings, and the speculation is abundant about Condoleezza Rice and Hillary Rodham Clinton. Are you ready to vote for a woman? Why or why not? Give us a call, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK, coast to coast. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Commander-in-Chief is skyrocketing the rating. It's the only new program to be in the top 10 in the ratings of primetime television. Gina Davis playing an accidental president of the United States, but the first woman president of the United States. And she's getting a lot of conversation started because of that. But far more interesting to me is the emergence of speculation concerning the 2008 presidential race. What if that race were a face-off between Condoleezza Rice, the current United States Secretary of State, and New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton? That is the very contest that is featured by Dick Morris in his new book, Condi versus Hillary, The Next Great Presidential Race. We also have out just right now as a new book, The Case for Hillary Clinton by Susan Estrich, Democratic strategist and former campaign manager for the ill-fated campaign of Michael Dukakis. You know, what we have here is a very interesting set of speculations, but it raises the big question. Is America ready for a woman as president? I'm going to make some arguments concerning why that may or may not be a good idea, but I really want to know what you think about this, and we need to know what our neighbors think. That's an interesting way to put it, isn't it? But a poll that was out from USA Today says that a majority of Americans say that they would support a woman as president and might actually vote for a female candidate, but they doubt that their neighbors are ready. Now, isn't that an interesting little pattern of polling? People say, I'm ready, but I don't think my neighbors are ready. Reading from USA Today, they say advocates say that this is about to change with an emerging generation of voters and office holders. For one thing, younger voters care less about a candidate's gender. One in four Americans, 65 and older, said they wouldn't vote for a female president, but just one out of five of those 30 and under held that view. Dick Morris made his case concerning Condoleezza Rice and Hillary Clinton as the head-on race for 2008 and an appearance on Hannity and Combs last week. Let's listen to what he had to say. Clip number one, guys.
At 35 years old, she was in charge of managing the U.S. policy toward the Soviet Union and German reunification. She was the chancellor of Stanford University and oversaw an affirmative action controversy where she said no affirmative action in the granting of tenure. And then I think her role in pushing an idealistic pro-democracy global movement has been superb. And in the last year of her tenure of Secretary of State, you have a North Korea deal, you have an India-Pakistan deal, you have a Gaza withdrawal deal, and I don't think that you can discount the enormous skill she's bringing to that.
Now there, of course, Dick Morris, a former advisor to President Bill Clinton, among others, is speaking about Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and speaking about her qualifications. He's rattling off a resume there. But he also went on to speak about what would happen if there were a head-to-head race. And he at this point makes specific reference to Hillary Rodham Clinton.
She was hired by the Rose Law Firm when her husband became Attorney General. She made partner when he became governor. She became First Lady with health care when her husband was elected. And her husband turned the White House over to her to raise money for the whole Senate campaign. Condi Rice has made it on her own. She was a tenured professor at the age of 26. She has a Ph.D. She's an internationally recognized scholar. And this is a woman who doesn't run. She auditions. She just does an excellent job at whatever she's doing. People notice her, and they get interested.
Well, you picked up by now that Dick Morris is very keen on the idea of a President Condoleezza Rice, and his blood runs cold at the idea of a President Hillary Rodham Clinton. In his new book, Condi versus Hillary, he says this in the concluding chapter: Hillary Clinton would be the most liberal president we've had since Lyndon Johnson. Bill Clinton is a moderate by choice and sometimes a liberal by necessity. But his wife is the exact opposite. She tries to be as liberal as possible as often as possible and embraces centrism only when political reality makes it necessary. Hillary believes that government delivers services well and that the quest for private profit is the root of all selfishness and vice in American life. She seethes in anger when insurance brokers add to the price of health care to make their commissions. She boils over when the rich want to pay less in taxes and won't step forward to fund a full range of services for the poor. He goes on to talk about Hillary coming of age as a student leftist, and then he shifts over to Condoleezza Rice, and he has a very different tune here. He says about Condi, the effect of her candidacy and her success will be far more important than her presidency itself. And he goes on to say her election would eliminate the last lingering division that threatens our social cohesion. In other words, he's arguing that her race is really even more important than her gender. The election of 2008, says Dick Morris, will be the next great presidential race with the possibility of two popular women as candidates. The voters will make history. We can only hope it's the right kind of history, he says. Meanwhile, Susan Estrich, again, she was the campaign manager for Michael Dukakis' campaign against George H.W. Bush in 1998. She says this: would it matter if the voice of authority in America were a woman's? Would it matter if the woman who stood up in Beijing for women's rights as human rights and traveled the world to meet with women and children became the most powerful person in the world? Would it matter, realistically and symbolically, if the cabinet were appointed by Hillary Clinton? If the justices of the Supreme Court were appointed by Hillary Clinton? If the most powerful person in the world were a woman with a lifelong passion about women and children, a lifelong commitment to improving the lot of families, a lifelong mission to achieve equality for women? Would it matter for America? Is the sky blue? Is the Pope Catholic? We would never have to worry about Roe v. Wade again. Let's start there. That from Susan Estrich. So you have Dick Morris on the one hand, Susan Estrich on the other. Both are championing the idea of a female president. They just have different presidents in mind. Both acknowledge the possibility of a head-to-head race between Hillary Rodham Clinton and Condoleezza Rice. Folks, this isn't just the fodder for primetime television. It's a matter of concern that we as Christians ought to take into very careful consideration. Does it make any difference that the president of the United States will be a woman? Are there any Christian worldview implications here? Furthermore, are you ready for it? Would you vote for a woman, any woman, to be president of the United States? Call and make your case. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I really wasn't interested in talking about Gina Davis and Commander-in-Chief. That's something that is just a matter of entertainment and popular culture. But when it comes down to the actual parameters and possibilities of the 2008 presidential race, well, now we're talking about something of importance. The number, 877-893-8255, that's 877-893-TALK. You know, one of the first things I would want to interject here is that I honestly believe that that God's purpose in making a distinction between men and women was, at least in part, to require of men a quality of leadership in the public square, in the family, and in the church. I will go so far as to say I do not think it is optimal that a woman serve in that capacity. But honesty also compels me to say that if I had had an opportunity to vote for Margaret Thatcher for president of the United States rather than Bill Clinton, I would have done it. And as you know from last week's discussion about heroism in history, I'm thankful for the legacy and the influence of someone like Margaret Thatcher. But I still don't quite feel right about it. I think there is still the responsibility for men to lead, but it's not the same thing as within the congregation, within the church. There the issue is very clear and God's word is very specific. In the larger culture, I think that's where we need to have an informed Christian conversation, and this is the honest place to begin. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This is going to be interesting, folks. I'm Albert Mohler.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. Are we ready for a woman president of the United States? Just any woman? Or perhaps Hillary Rodham Clinton? Or on the other hand, Condoleezza Rice? That's the speculation out there, and all of a sudden it's reaching a fever pitch. Two new books out. Susan Estrich's book, The Case for Hillary Clinton, and Dick Morris's book, Condi versus Hillary, and it's hitting the Sunday morning talk shows, and also, well, it's hitting the Albert Mohler Program today. I want to know what you think. Let's go to Linda, calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Linda, it's your turn.
Hello, Dr. Mohler. Thank you for taking my call. My opinion is that it says in the Bible that men should lead the church of God, and women should not be pastors or preachers. And I also think that the land of the nation should be run by men, not women.
Well, Linda, I appreciate your opinion there, and I want to agree with you in the principle here. I think that what we have in the New Testament is a very clear indication of God's design or pattern for his people in the church. And there we have it as a command. It's right out of 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Timothy 3. It's also affirmed in other passages as well. I would say that when it comes to the larger culture, it's not a command, but I think it is a principle. Linda, let me ask you, do you have any hunch as to whether America's ready, just even politically, for a woman president? Do you think that people will vote for a woman candidate?
No, I do not think so. It also says that women are helpmates to men. Men need to lead the nation. They're stronger, and I think that the nation is not yet ready for a woman president. There's too much going on.
Linda, I really appreciate your call. I want to know what others think as well. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Someone out there is going to disagree with Linda. And someone out there is going to want to pick a bone with me as well. That's fair. This is a conversation about how we should think about this issue. 877-893-8255. Let's go to Jeanette calling from Tallahassee, Florida, listening on WTBN. Welcome, Jeanette. You there, Jeanette? I think we lost her. Let's go to Gary calling from Grand Haven, Michigan. Gary, it's your turn.
Hello, Dr. Mohler. Thank you for taking my call. My comments are if we were to choose for one or the other, obviously I'm a conservative thinker and I would choose Condoleezza Rice. I don't think she'll make it through the primaries, though. I don't believe that the conservative Republican Party is ready to, put a woman into that role, and so I don't think she'd be able to make it through the primary. But if it did happen and I were to have to make a choice, I would say that Condoleezza Rice would be my pick, of course.
Well, Gary, let me ask you, do you think if you were the only voter to make a decision, if you were in a position to appoint a president of the United States, would you want to appoint Condi?
As opposed to Hillary?
Well, I just mean, would you, all things being equal, let's forget Hillary for a minute, just in terms of having a woman as president, are you ready for that?
I'm not, personally. I'm not, and I have reasons why. I just think, a woman is, I personally know I'm not ready for it. But, that the secular world may be ready for that. It could very possibly happen, even though, the Bible kind of talks against it and so forth.
All right, Gary, I really appreciate your call, and I think you're onto something in terms of your political instinct here. Let me go back to two political factors to keep in mind here. Number one, the primary process is very important, and I think you're really onto something here. I have a difficult time just imagining Condoleezza Rice getting through the primary process. We're a long distance from where the parties were in the 1950s and even the 1960s, when the party rules were changed so that the primaries became the predominant way of obligating delegates who would then make the nomination. It's really hard to have a draft. It's really very hard to have some kind of backdoor deal. There are no more smoke-filled rooms in terms of producing major party nominations. The second thing is what is known in politics as the Harry Gantt factor. And that has to do with a candidate for the Senate in North Carolina. when people polled said that they would vote for him because he's African American. That seemed to be the politically correct right thing to say to the pollster. He was leading in the polls the day before the election, but he didn't come close to winning. It's because people tend to say to pollsters what they think the pollster wants to hear. And I wonder if that is being reflected also in this surge in the polls for a woman candidate for president. There are a lot of people who say they would vote for a woman, but I wonder when it comes right down to it if they would pull that lever. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, coast to coast. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Folks, it's probably been a long time since you heard that one. Helen Reddy, I Am Woman. Well, are we ready for a woman president? There are right now, across the world, 6 female presidents, 4 female prime ministers. In the United States Senate, there are now 14 members who are women, and in the House of Representatives, 59. And there are 8 female governors across the United States, but there are 0 women's portraits hanging outside the Oval Office as president of the United States. Is that about to change? That's the big question. And how do we think about that? As intelligent Christians, is this a matter of biblical truth? Is this a matter of Christian principle? Is it a matter of political prudence? Give me a call and tell me what you think. 877-893-8255. Let's go to Brian calling from Akron, Ohio, listening on WHKW. Brian, what do you think?
Well, you know, I've got some pretty strange ideas about the whole thing. If it's Condi or Hillary, whoever would basically support the middle class the most, you know, whoever fits my world view, that's who I'm going to vote for, because when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter who the president is, because I don't care what happens, we're headed to a one world government. That's where we're going. I think Condi will take us the way of corporate globalism. I think with Hillary, the morals of this country will be just saturated and dropped, and all of our moral values will be dropped.
All right, so, Brian. Well, thank you. I'll admit, truth in advertising here. You said you had some different ideas, and when it comes to a one world government, we'll just have to make that a different show. But the big question, for us right now is whether or not a woman should serve as president of the United States. Interesting comments Brian made about the two different women, and that's what makes this all the more interesting, isn't it? It's because I think there are a lot of Americans who would say, yes, I'm ready for a female president if it's Condoleezza Rice, but no if it's Hillary Rodham Clinton. And there are probably those who are ready to say exactly the opposite, because I do think we are right now more issue-driven in terms of the cultural and political divide between the red and the blue states than we are gender-conscious. Now, as a Christian and as a theologian who's committed to biblical complementarity and God's glory in the different and appropriate roles for men and women, I have to think there are bigger principles at stake here. But I think right now the big political question is going to be, if a woman, what woman? Let's go to Joe calling from East Richland, Ohio, listening on XM. Joe, what do you think?
Well, back in the day, I used to be a very heavy woman's liber, and I would have said, yeah, do it, back in the 70s. But now, I honestly don't think that other countries, especially that we're dealing with the Middle East, I don't think they'd take us seriously with a woman president.
You know, that's a very interesting point, Joe. Hang with me here for just a moment, because when I first had the hint you were going to say that other countries won't take us seriously, my thought was, well, they certainly took Margaret Thatcher seriously, but, you know, you do raise an interesting point when it comes to the Middle East. But my guess is that the fact that Condoleezza Rice currently serves as the United States Secretary of State is also breaking some barriers over there. I mean, after all, some of these Arab leaders had to acknowledge her as the representative of the president and of the United States in terms of her visits there. Joe, do you think this is just something that is a matter of speculation? What's your instinct about what would happen if one of these women did become a major party candidate? Would it matter?
I think to them, they would seriously think that we're a lot weaker than we are. They may say that, yeah, you know, the United States, you should respect them, but, you know, behind closed doors, they'd probably get ready to attack.
Well, Joe, thanks for your call. Appreciate your thinking. Let's go to Peggy from Clearwater, Florida, listening on WTBN. Peggy, your turn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to hear from you.
My thoughts on it, I was thinking about Deborah in the Old Testament. She was a judge. I think Condi is extremely intelligent. I just read the book on her life, her biography. I think she could do the job. And I think President Bush has a lot of faith in her, and I think I could see her as the next president.
Peggy, I was waiting for someone to bring up Deborah. I knew it was going to happen, and thank you for raising it. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. Do you think there is any biblical principle here involved that should prohibit a woman serving as president, Peggy?
Well, seeing as though Deborah was judge, how there weren't presidents, although there were no women kings, leaders, there were queens. Gosh, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to answer that.
Well, Peggy, you're not alone. I just take you right off the spot here. You're not alone. I think a lot of us are thinking this through. And I'm just in the position where I can't say that it doesn't matter. But I also have to acknowledge that the political process is not the same thing as the church. But I do believe there are basic principles here of the necessity of male leadership. You know, when you read the memoirs of Margaret Thatcher, one of the things that becomes clear is that she emerged into a very clear and I think historically very important role of leadership, largely because the men around her were so weak. And I'm not sure all that does say. Let's go to Rod, calling from Tampa, Florida, also listening on WTBN. Rod, what do you make of all this?
Well, I think it's interesting, and I'm glad to be on your program. I was driving home, and I find it quite interesting. My viewpoint is that whether, as Christians, we first look to the Bible and His Word and think His thoughts after Him. And from an Old Testament perspective, I would say the woman being king, or shall we say president, would be prohibited because it was a priestly holy nation. And therefore, the structure and authority of the nation was based on the structure and authority of the church and family, which was the male head. However, God does not evangelize primarily in the New Testament through the priestly holy nation. We have the invisible nation, and the keys are given to the church. And therefore, the church continues to be a flow from the family as far as their authority structure. So you cannot have male elders or pastors. And the male is the head of the household and the family. But as to the civil government, I think we have Christian liberty in that area to have female rulers. I would prefer a male. I think it sends a better message to the nations because I think even though Deborah served in the Old Testament, it was a sign that we had become weak and we had lost our faith, the Israelites as a nation. And I think that in a sense, because males have advocated leadership, that we're having to discuss this, but I don't think it's prohibited in the New Testament because, again, the authority structure is different. But ultimately, if I had to vote between a McCain or Candelisa, I would vote Candelisa any day, and I, too, would take a Margaret Thatcher as well.
There you go, Rod. A very coherent argument, which understands there's a difference between the church and the state, but also understands there are principles to which both are obligated. I'll be back with some final thoughts in just a moment. I knew this was going to be interesting. It's going to get more interesting as we move through this political season. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This has been an interesting discussion. Should a woman be president of the United States? You know, it's hard to talk about this in the abstract because it was in 1872 that Elizabeth Woodhull, Virginia Woodhull, actually became the very first candidate for president of the United States as a female. She couldn't even vote for herself because women then did not have the right to vote. So this goes back as a matter of abstract speculation, even far back in our nation's history. But in terms of real political situations and reality and possibilities, we're looking at the two candidates who all of a sudden, as potentials, could actually have a chance of being elected president of the United States. Now, I tried to lay out some principles, and some of our callers have really helped with this. I do believe that the ideal is male leadership. I know that runs against the grain. That's about as politically incorrect as any assertion could be. But I think the picture of male leadership and all that goes with it is very necessary for us to understand as a civilization, as a family, as individuals, you know, what God's glory is and purpose is in terms of human organization in the church, in the home, and elsewhere. But I want to make a distinction between the church and the government. In the church, we have an absolute command, and I'll stand on that, and I'll contend for that. In the government, I think there are different political exigencies and urgencies that could create a different situation and lead to a different decision. I'll go back to what I said earlier. Just honestly, given my own worldview commitments and my own Christian commitments, if I'd had a chance to vote for Margaret Thatcher, if she had been running against, in this case, Bill Clinton, for instance, I would have voted for her in a minute. I wouldn't have had to think about it long at all. But when it comes to Condoleezza Rice and Hillary Rodham Clinton, we're looking at two very real women with two very real records. And Hillary Rodham Clinton, we see one of the most liberal members of the United States Senate, and I believe that she would make her husband look like a centrist indeed were she ever to get into office. I think all we have to do is take her own positions seriously, look at the law articles she wrote back before she came on the public's radar screen as the wife of Bill Clinton, and look at her record in the Senate. And then Condoleezza Rice. I certainly admire her biography. I admire her background, her many talents. I admire her courage and her ability. But I have grave concerns about her positions on many of the social issues, including abortion. I have no idea how Condoleezza Rice would lead this nation in confronting an issue such as same-sex marriage. I have grave concerns about where she has made public statements in the past concerning the sanctity of human life. If it's Hillary versus Condi, I think a lot of people would find themselves voting for Condoleezza Rice. But is that where this political season is going to take us? Is that the way the 2008 race is going to shape up? Time will tell. This is a conversation that needs to continue, and we will revisit it again. Join me tomorrow for Ask Anything Wednesday when you set the agenda. I'll meet you there.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.